This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Morning, you all right? Hope you are. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Wakey-wakey, eggs and bakey. Come on, the day's half over. Come on, let's go, let's do it. Get out of bed, sleepyhead. Big day today, the government might fall today. We're here for it. It is just turned 1 minute past 8 in the AM, British summertime. What are we on, Tuesday? Tuesday, isn't it? Tuesday, the 12th of May, in the year of our Lord, 2026. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, I'm all good.
Good. The disembodied voice of the godlike Little Harry there at the controls. You're the glorious band, the chosen few. You're watching this live. You're the best among us. Couldn't ask for any more. Thank you. Thank you. Occasionally, I get a moment or two in the mornings to have a look at the chat. People speculating on what colour suit I might be wearing. Lisa C, 1987, called it. It's a blue day. I'm blue, abu-dee-boom. All right. Lovely hot cup of tea straight from the kettle there. All right. Should we stop faffing about? Stop all this fannying about, shall we, and get into it? It's an important day. It's a little bit like Groundhog Day, actually, because it's wall-to-wall Starmer, but very different to a Groundhog Day because it's happening. It looks like it's happening. The collapse of the government does look like it's happening. Oh, one other thing I've got to say. Real quick, get it out of the way. Little bit of a shill. Got to do it because so much time and effort has gone into it. Other people. I don't do any of this stuff. But if you did want to buy Loadseaters merch, look, there's loadseatersmerch.com on our website. There's Breakfast with Bo merch. I don't create any of this. It's wondrous. Look at that mug. Look. That's this mug. The new style mug, slightly different. It says, morning, you all right on it? It actually says that. There you go, all right. This week, 10% off in honour of the 100th show the other day. So there you go, all right, just a quick chill. Got to do it. Part of the job. All right, let's get on with the news. So, when I say it's wall-to-wall Starmer, oh God, oh boy. Truly wall-to-wall. It's probably one of the two or three days we've had so far on the Bo Show where it's genuinely, there's not one exception. It's every single front page all the way down to the Sun and the Star and every single website. Look, Harry, bring these up. Look, Starmer, 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 Starmbot. Well, number 10, but still Starmer. Starmer, Starmer. So, okay, you get it. So be prepared for that this morning. Although, to be fair, if it warrants it, it warrants it. You know, like the day of war starts when the Ayatollah was blown up, something like that, or something like this. You can't blame editors for going with it. They have to, really, don't they? They have to. It may well be that the government collapses today. Or imminently. There's a cabinet meeting at 9:30 this morning in about an hour and a half. That could spell the end of Starmer and the government. All right, what have we got here? Cabinet turns on Starmer and you have been murdered, metaphorically, not exactly. That's a reference to that TV show Traitors, but politically murdered. Okay. So a lot has happened in the last 24 hours, 23 hours since last time I spoke to you guys, my band of brothers and sisters. A lot happened. So if you watched the Bo Show yesterday, I was talking all about Starmer was set to do a speech his sort of so-called last chance speech, which he did. It was only about 15, 20 minutes, was it? It wasn't fantastically long. No great detail. The only thing he said of any substance and, like, policy stuff was that he intended to nationalise steel, British steel. But, you know, no sort of concrete plan or anything. In fact, let's talk about that. Let's go through it chronologically, exactly what happened. So, mid-morning-ish time, he does his speech. And, interestingly, none of the cabinet were there. Well, there was two members of the cabinet, and they were, like, I think, and they were staunch, 100% to the bitter end Starmer ally ones. The rest of them didn't turn up. It was, you know, that sort of thing, supposed to be a show of support, show of unity. The big players didn't turn up to sit there clapping along. The rest of the room, other than reporters, were all party diehards. So they were like, it was like a conference speech where they're clapping every other line. He gets a little round of applause. When he first goes up there, they keep clapping and clapping and clapping and clapping. Like at conference, so just pure sycophants, a room full of sycophants. That's weird, that's odd, that's not a great look. He was reading off a teleprompter, I believe, so again, not spontaneous. If ever you're going to be spontaneous and shoot from the hip, talk off the cuff, be as genuine and authentic as possible, that might have been the time to actually really wear your heart on your sleeve a little bit. No, it was just a 15, 20 minute rehearsed speech with no real substance. What a surprise. And he didn't take responsibility. I mean, he said the words, I take responsibility, but then went on to not really, especially in the Q&A afterwards, not really taking any real responsibility, not accepting that he's the problem. You know, that people on the doorstep in these local elections, a lot of them were saying, it's Starmer. I don't like Starmer. I will not vote for Starmer. Not really accepting that. Because when you're in government, when the individual members of the government, including the Prime Minister themselves, when they become the headlines over and over and over and over and over again, that's a problem. It's not supposed to be particularly about you. Well, about your job anyway. When the headlines are, I remember the end of the Tony Blair years, or and the various Tory ones in the last few years, when day after day after day, it's about will he or won't he step down. It means you can't really govern all that well. Your ability to govern is damaged heavily. He's not really accepting, he wasn't accepting that. So this little speech he did, you know, he talked about how it would be chaos to remove him in any way. You are the chaos, dude. You're the centre of that storm. You're the eye of the storm of chaos. The eye of terror. Yeah, he's the problem. He's just refusing to accept it. He was saying stuff, if anything, we just need to do more of what I've been doing. My main mistake so far is that I haven't gone fast enough and deep enough and hard enough on the agenda. No, bro. Talking about doubling down on all the Europe stuff, the realignment with Europe. It's like, no. Mate, no. No. And, just doubling down on all that stuff and not accepting responsibility. Surprise, surprise. The Labour backbenchers and the Labour Party, most people in it, other than the staunch diehards whose political flag is tied to his mast, whatever happens to him happens to them. Other than those people who will defend him to the ends of the earth, they didn't really buy this speech, his last ditch speech. They just came out, you know, straight away saying, no, what was that? Like, that's just more of the same. It's like, you're not. It didn't work. Loads of them came out just openly on Twitter saying, no. You're done. And so the tumble began. Obviously, there was all sorts of wranglings during the day, obviously. You can only infer. Because by late afternoon, early evening, it began. The House of Cards beginning to collapse. It must be a horrible feeling. It must be a really horrible feeling. Have you ever had a friendship or perhaps a relationship And you can feel the other person just becoming colder and colder and backing away. And you know, there's nothing you can do or say. They've made their mind up. Horrible, horrible feeling. Imagine that when it's like power. That must be a horrible, horrible. Look, it's too late. You've had all your chances to fix it. And that's it. They're backing away. No amount of pleading, no amount of rationalization. There's no more words. That window of time where words might have made a difference is over now. And you want it. You want it bad. Obviously, he wants to stay in power, doesn't he? He wants to be prime minister for another 10 years, he would say. He wants it still. And they're just backing away from you. It's horrible. Horrible feeling. Well, he deserves it, doesn't he? He's a terrible leader. Terrible, terrible, terrible leader. Just like a robot man. Very, very, very hard left. You know, as a younger man, too left for the Fabian society. No, imagine being too left-wing for the Fabian society. He wanted to bring in ID cards. That alone. That alone. Don't worry about the Chagos thing, the abortion thing, the assisted dying thing. Look, most of the stuff he's done in government. The ID card alone, they wanted to do that. If he could have got away with that politically, he would have done that. That alone. His response to the Southport unrest. He guarantees you the full force of the law will come down on it if you go out on the street and protest about that. Those two things alone makes me consider this man something like evil. Close to evil. I do try and reserve that word because you can overuse it, can't you, to be truly evil. But that ID card thing, that was malevolent, wasn't it? That was malicious. That was something dystopian, truly dystopian. Scumbag, a soulless idiot scumbag. All right, so a lot of the Labour MPs just weren't buying it. We mentioned before, didn't we, that Catherine West sort of started the idea that there's going to be a vote of no confidence in Parliament. So now, and the magic number's 81, 20% of the Parliamentary Labour Party, which is 81 MPs, would need to be up for that. So that's sort of the magic number. By late afternoon, early evening yesterday, it starts trickling. Oh, there's now 50, 53, 57, 62. Right, everyone in the world, all the chattering classes, everyone else watching on, counting these Labour MPs as they... I openly say I would vote for that if it ever came up in the House. And then we had sort of aides, ministerial aides, quitting. Right, so the sort of junior minister directly under Wes Streeting and the one directly under Lammy, David Lammy, but four in total quitting, resigning from government. They're not in cabinet, but they are in government. So just to make it clear, perhaps if you're foreign, if you don't necessarily know, it's not that every single Labour MP is, quote, in government, right? The government is just the smaller leadership cabal in the parliamentary party. So there's hundreds of Labour MPs who aren't in government. They're all hoping that they would get picked one day to be in government or even to be in cabinet. Cabinet is technically, basically, like the most inner sanctum of power. And so presidential aides. So the ministerial aides, four of them quit. So that's very close to cabinet members themselves quitting, isn't it? Now, when that happens, historically, even in my lifetime, I've seen this happen so many times. When cabinet members start resigning, it's sort of over. Sometimes. A government or a leader can survive one or two of those, maybe, if they're not already mired in like sort of endless controversy and endless speculation about their own job. Maybe then, right? You've got a normal, stable government and one of your ministers quits over something. Okay, you can survive that. But when the whole question is about the prime minister's position himself, and people, cabinet members start quitting, it's sort of over. The idea of cabinet is collective responsibility. That's at the heart of it. The idea is that you're all supposed to be on exactly the same page at all times. That's what cabinet is. A legal collective responsibility. That's why whenever you get a cabinet minister, in normal times, get a cabinet minister who says something ever so slightly different to what the Prime Minister has said. Their view, their idea of any particular policy is ever so slightly different to the party line. Papers and the media will jump all over that. And oh, there's division in cabinet, even though there might not be, or barely any. Okay, you get it. So if one resigns, stands on principle and resigns, well, the House of Cards, you've just flicked one of the cards out from the bottom of the House of Cards. So we haven't had any cabinet, as far as I'm aware, at the time of recording, we haven't had any full cabinet members resign, but that will be the next thing. Right? When their aides resign. So it's all over, really. It's certainly all over for Starmer. A few people this morning even saying he might not, he might cling on. Don't see it. We'll get into Parliament and the King's Speech and everything in a minute. That's a whole other element. Okay, so people started resigning. And then late in the evening, mid-evening, apparently a bunch of MPs went to Number 10. So I'll have to have a serious talk with him now. Shades there of Margaret Thatcher. All her big beasts came to her at one point and said, look, it's over. It's over. You've just got to resign. It's done. Don't drag the party and the country and Parliament through some sort of acrimonious process of being formally legally removed. Just resign. You've got to. You're done. Perhaps something like that or something similar, something adjacent to that happened yesterday. Anyway, then some of the big beasts, including Shabana Mahmood, the Home Secretary, and Yvette Cooper, the Mrs. Ed Balls, the Foreign Secretary, apparently, according to reports, went in there and said you should resign or at least, you know, make a statement about when you're going to leave. That's another card flicked out from the bottom of the structure. Like the biggest, the most powerful people in the country under the Prime Minister are the Chancellor of the Exchequer, the Home Secretary, and the Foreign Secretary. They're the most eminent Secretaries of State. So if they're telling you you've got to resign, really, you're like a whisker away from them resigning themselves or from them formally coming out and saying to a journalist, I no longer have confidence in the Prime Minister. You know, so, okay. So that's roughly where we are at the moment. The ball is obviously now in his court. So there was due to be a cabinet meeting today anyway, just as a normal course of events. If nothing was going on, there would still be the Tuesday morning cabinet meeting at 9:30, British summer time. So in about an hour and 10 minutes. That was always going to happen regardless of anything. So that's happening this morning. You can only imagine the atmosphere in there. What that's going to be about. That's crunch time. That's truly judgment day, isn't it? Keir Starmer, bring up Keir Starmer. Don't you get it? The left of the Labour Party's out there. It can't be bargained with. It can't be reasoned with. It doesn't feel pity or pain or fear. What's funny? And it absolutely will not stop, ever. Until Starmer is dead. Politically. Judgment Day. Alright, cabinet turns on Starmer. Yeah. PM told to timetable departure. Told. It's over, dude. More than 75 MPs call on him to go. Streeting, ready to make a move. Have the stars aligned, as I said yesterday, for the Right Honourable. Is he Right Honourable or just Honourable? I think if in your cabinet, you're by definition Right Honourable. Anyway, Wes Streeting, Mr. Wesley Streeting, MP, ready to make a move. Have the stars aligned for him. He need merely only step up to the plate and become head of government. Who knows? Look, the Times says 75 MPs want him to go, as we'll see in the headlines, because I've told you the story now, essentially. We'll whip through the headlines a bit. They've got all different numbers. They'll report at different numbers, because they all go to print at various points in the evening yesterday. Times saying 75. They've all got more or less the same picture, more or less, from that speech he did yesterday. The ill-fated, I'm not going anywhere speech. Don't create chaos. The left of the Labour Party don't care about chaos. The left of the Labour Party see Keir Starmer and nearly everyone in the cabinet as like right-wingers. How mad is that? How mad is that? He's super, super left-wing. A socialist. As I say, too left-wing for the Fabian Society. They see him as like a centrist or even a rightist in some way. Rightist deviations. It's an old Maoist line. He's nowhere near left enough. So they hate him. They don't care about... They don't care about unity. Or chaos. They don't care about the country, ultimately. They're lefties. All they care about is their ideology. And themselves. That's what leftism is. That is what it is. Quintessentially. Ideology and narcissism. Okay. We're streeting. We'll talk about that in a moment. Who's next? You know. The Torygraph, the daily Torygraph. Time to go, Cabinet tells Starmer. Mahmood among senior ministers urging PM to consider his position. Consider his position, yeah. You mean leave? Aides resign. As reset speech backfires and 76 Labour MPs call on leader to quit. So they go with the number 76. Rayner says, Burnham must be brought back as leadership rival circle. Yeah, that was the thing. Angela the Fridge Rayner, Big Bird, yesterday did another little speech. I think it was yesterday anyway. Again, reiterating that we, the party, the Labour Party, we need Burnham. We need Andy. Without Andy, we can't possibly win at the next general election. I mean, it doesn't make sense. It barely makes sense, the Andy Burnham thing, to me. The timing of it doesn't add up, doesn't make sense, does it? If Starmer's got to go relatively soon. He might do a speech this morning, right? It may well be that by mid-morning, half 10, 11, midday, Starmer comes out of number 10. There's a little lectern set up there. Remember when May had to do it, when Boris had to do it, you know, walks out of number 10 and just does a little 2-minute, 5-minute speech saying, I resign. That might happen this morning. Okay. The idea that Burnham, someone in probably the Manchester region, doesn't have to be Manchester, probably Manchester, one of the sitting Labour MPs, pretends there's a reason why they've got to resign. You can't, I don't think they can just resign for no reason, or for purely party political reasons. But they'll make up some reason, or their health. They want to spend more time with their family, suddenly. Something like that. Okay, they resign. It triggers a by-election. That takes, what, a month at least, isn't it? At least. Then Burnham wins that. No guarantee of that. No guarantee of that whatsoever. Is there any such thing as a safe Labour seat, even in Manchester? Historically safe Labour seat in Manchester right now. Is there such a thing? They thought that Gorton and Denton one was a lock, didn't they? They thought that was an absolute gimme, a slam dunk. Labour came third, didn't they? Matt Goodwin, unlikable plagiarist, idiot Matt Goodwin, lefty agent provocateur, pretending to be nationalist or patriotic. He beat Labour in that. Right? So Andy Burnham, someone steps aside, and it takes like weeks. Andy Burnham wins it, let's just say. Okay, he wins that. All right, okay. So now he's back in Parliament. Then a full leadership race occurs. Surely They would already, well, not surely, but you would thought there'd be a whole leadership race and election before that. It would have to happen quite soon, wouldn't it? Unless the Labour Party contrive things to leave, what, David Lammy as some sort of interim leader that whole time. Oh, also you'd need the NEC, the Internal Labour Party governing body, to select Andy Burnham in the first place. Some say all the ducks are aligned for that. And others say, no, it's not. So that's not a gimme. Him actually winning the seat isn't a gimme. Then he would have to win a leadership election. A lot of people saying he would have the numbers for that, but it's not guaranteed. The whole Andy Burnham angle seems... as I say, it barely makes sense to me. If he'd got in that Gaunton and Denton time, okay, maybe. Now we'd... And he's already an MP right now. It all makes some kind of sense, but... he isn't. That's why I'm talking about Wes Streeting. The stars aligning for Wes Streeting. Because Angela Rayner, even, as well, still hasn't got her revenue and customs thing resolved. So out of the remaining big beasts, it could be. I bet a lot of them will throw their hat into the ring. But the bookies say, people that know what they're talking about, and count up the various blocks of MPs, say that Wes Streeting's got the numbers. Wes Streeting, who will definitely, I bet my bottom dollar, that he will definitely lose his seat at the next election. He's got a majority of 500 or 600 odd, something like that. Tiny, in other words, tiny. In a massively Muslim area, or foreign area. Was it Ilford South? I can't remember. Ilford or Barkin. Massive foreign enclave. He won his seat at the last election by the skin of his teeth. He will lose his seat, I would have thought, at the next one anyway. You're going to make him Prime Minister. Okay. And he's only slightly less of a robot than Starmer, isn't he? He's just a career politician robot dude. He hasn't got a clear, great vision for the country. He's not a force of nature, isn't he? Is he? He's not a towering intellect. He's not like some sort of political genius. Nothing. There's nothing about him, is there? He's just an ambitious dude who thought he could get to power by joining the Labour Party. He obviously thought that as a younger man, and that's it. That's all it is. No conviction. I've never seen any real conviction from Wes Streeting about anything ever. Right? I mean, real from the belly conviction about anything ever. But are the stars aligning for him? Sort of feels like it to me a bit. We shall see. Yeah, I've said before, Tim Stanley. Yeah, he does have a podcast. I said before, who's he? But he's the guy, isn't he? They've got the Telegraph have got like a podcast thing, and he's the guy on that. But just weak sauce, isn't it? Just a weak nothing, weak wristed, limp lettuce, nothing boy. Although this headline's quite funny. Kier 6.0, like Kier, well, the Kier Starmer bot, 6.0, short circuits. That is funny. At his final abortive attempt to be authentic. Yeah, I mean, that's quite a good funny take, to be honest. Exactly what it felt like. The buck stops with me. Do not create chaos in government. Yeah. Non sequitur. All right. The Guardian, ugh. The Guardian, revolting, absolutely. Ugh. Absolutely revolting, The Guardian. Socialist, communist, subversive slop. A detriment to our society and country that The Guardian exists. A revolting thing. Sickening. Starmer's survival on the line as cabinet ministers urge him to quit. More of the same. Should I start whipping through in a bit? You're getting it now, aren't you? You get it. PM told to enable orderly transition of power after poll defeats. Parliamentary aides resign and Labour MPs press him to stand down. Okay. the Star, even the Star getting on it. They decided not to talk about some random crap about Elvis has been spotted on the moon or something. Bruce Lee, Elvis, and the real Paul McCartney are in a double-decker bus on the moon. Dear PM, by order of the traitors, you have been murdered. You will be removed from number 10. All this is a reference to that show I said, Traitors. This is all couched in that stuff. Because they and their readers are dummies. The Express, oh, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. I don't think it's a good paper. That's an Alan Partridge reference. It's a ridiculous rag. Little better than The Guardian and The Metro and The Standard. All of them are. The Mail, The Express, with the slight exception sometimes of The Telegraph. They're all the same. Anti-white, anti-Western, anti-British, anti-family. Filth. A lot of it. PM on the edge, says the subversive Express. PM on the edge. Ministerial aides quit as speech bombs. At least 80 Labour MPs demand his exit. Starmer set to face crisis cabinet. Yeah, can you imagine the atmosphere in there? I said that earlier. I was going to touch on that. Again, it's like a relationship. It's like being dumped, dumping someone or being dumped. It's very, very awkward. Isn't it? The cabinet are basically dumping him. No, it's not nice. I've both been the dumper and the dumpee in the past, in real life. Being the person that is dumping the other person. Oh, so much worse. So much worse. Oh, it's horrible. But that's what they've got to do. The cabinet have got to go in there and one way or another say, bro, we don't love you anymore. You need to leave, I'm afraid. And then put up with whatever. The screaming and shouting, the pleading, the tears, whatever. Ooh. Yeah. In about an hour from now, that's going to go down in the Cabinet Office. And I suspect he'll go down screeching. Try and refuse, he'll try and... who knows? He doesn't feel like the type of politician, the type of man, the type of robot man that will accept it. That he might even go atomic. He might just like call a general, snap general election. He's threatened it, or his people have leaked that they might do that, threaten that. I don't think he will. Or he'll effectively go peacefully, quietly by doing a little speech at like 11 a.m. outside number 10. I no longer have the numbers. I've tried my best, but it hasn't worked out. When Parliament opens, we'll see what happens. So that's the next thing. So Parliament isn't even sitting at the moment, is it? It's prorogued or it's in recess, whatever you want to say. There is no... Yeah, Parliament isn't open. It's due to open tomorrow. This is another thing. Getting into the territory of actual... like a constitutional, relatively small constitutional crisis where it's supposed to be that the King formally opens Parliament tomorrow. The King goes down there and, you know, Blackrod knocks on the door of the Lords and everyone packs into the Lords, the chamber of the House of Lords. And the King sits there. Have probably Camilla sitting next to him in the ermine, in the crown, the full nine yards, and reads a little speech that's been written for him by number 10, setting out what the government means to do over the next year. You know, he's like, my government over the following year intends to do XYZ. Well, you get that that's an absurdity then, though, don't you, right? You get that that would just be a bit of a something like a humiliation or an embarrassment for the King to do that, because straight after that, the Labour backbenchers, the left of the Labour Party, destroy the government. making what the king just said nonsense. And people know that's about to happen. So a little bit of a constitutional sticky wicket there. Like, the king sort of got to open parliament, I would have thought. Could they push it back? I don't know. I mean, maybe they can push that back. But then if there is going to be a vote of no confidence in the chamber, in the House of Commons, then you need parliament open to do that, obviously. This is all assuming Starmer just doesn't quit. Assuming he doesn't do a little speech in an hour and a half's time saying he resigns. If he doesn't do that. Got to go through putting the king through that. Not that I care personally about King Charles. Charles III, the sausage-fingered Saxe-Coburg-Gotha. Not that I particularly care about his blushes, but still. A bit unseemly to put him through that. Put the country through that, knowing that the whole thing is laughable. Risible. Okay. So that's on the cards as well, potentially, possibly. If Starmer doesn't just go amicably. And then you get, like, assuming they get 81 MPs, which I'm sure they will. I mean, no doubt. Or the cabinet, half the cabinet or more just resigns. So there isn't a government, really, at that point. There isn't one, de facto. Then go through the rigmarole of actually having a vote of no confidence and all that in Parliament. It is best if he resigns, isn't it? It is absolutely best if he just resigns, you know, on a number of levels, in a number of ways. It's best for the party and the country. Again, not that I care about the internal chaos of the Labour Party. Bring it on, the more the merrier. I mean, that's the other angle. People have said, and it's not a stupid take, that it's better that if Keir Starmer stays because he's so unpopular that it just means that their final defeat at the ballot box in 2029, the next general election, would be more complete the longer he's there. And as I say, that's not a stupid take. Strategically, that's fine to say that, and I agree with it to some degree. But however, think of it, couldn't you also make the argument, as I'm about to, that if your ultimate goal is to see the Labour Party ruined at the next general election, which is everyone's goal, unless you're in the party, right? Couldn't you say that if they replace him, because the electorate hate that, they hate it, then they replace him with someone worse, say they replace him with Wes Streeting, then the left of the Labour Party coup him out quite quickly, like a Liz Truss thing, or not as quickly as Liz Truss, because that was a remarkable set of events, but the Labour Party keep hating on their own cabinet because they don't like Wes Streeting, because Wes Streeting's like a Blairite, i.e. on the right of the Labour Party, not that he's right-wing at all. There's just in endless more chaos in the Labour Party because they don't like Wes Streeting either. He's not left-wing enough for them. Or somehow they go through the complete crazy set of events to get Burnham in. Burnham does get in. It's the dream ticket. Andy and Ange, the dream ticket, and they draw the whole country even further to the left than Starmer ever did. Doesn't all that, in all those different scenarios, doesn't that add up to a really, really bad result for Labour in 29? Potentially, quite easily, I would argue, a worse result than if you just kept Starmer till 2029. No? Either way, it would be terrible for the Labour Party at the ballot box, isn't it? I don't see any way back, unless, which is their great long shot, their great hope, that Andy Burnham gets in as leader and Prime Minister, and then turns everything around, unites the Labour Party, has an amazing set of policies, and governs amazingly, and the whole country get behind him and love him, and vote them back in 2029. Doesn't seem likely, does it? Like, Andy Burnham's not some sort of master, some sort of genius. He's not like an incredible force of nature or political mind or got an amazing vision for Britain. No, he's a lefty. He's a full-blown socialist, isn't he? That's not what the country's wanting. They're moving towards reform and restore, aren't they? Even the Tories are too milquetoast for them now. Seems like the majority of the country. Could be wrong in that analysis, but that's what it looks like, doesn't it? Most people don't want open borders now. Like Andy Burnham is just that. We need more safe and legal routes. He's one of those dudes. We don't want that. Endless money on the NHS. People are concerned about that. You know, move closer to Europe. No, we didn't. We've been telling you for years and years and years, we don't really want that. Right? Environmentalism is all important. No, we want to not be poor. And on and on and on. The idea that you get Andy Burnham in and it's a magic wand cure and Labour will be desirable at the ballot box in 2029. They're living in cloud cuckoo land. What a surprise, though. The left of the Labour Party living in cloud cuckoo land. Who could have guessed that? Who could have thought that lefties live in a fantasy? All right, the Sun. I told you, it's all the way down to the Sun. The Sun, they're in on it. Keir's premiership in free fall. Now I'm free. Free falling. All right, move to my backup water there. The remnant of my cuppa has gone cold. Okay. PM told to quit by three cabinet ministers. Including the Home Secretary and the Foreign Secretary, right? There's not just any old three cabinet ministers. Over 70 MPs join in Labour mutiny. Starmer's on the brink. Yeah. He's teetering over the brink. His centre of balance is beyond the brink, isn't it? Okay, the eye paper. Starmer mutiny grows with Labour Party in open revolt against PM. Mounting pressure on Starmer to resign after make or break speech fails to stop rebellion spreading through Labour ranks. At least 70 MPs have called for Starmer to quit, with four ministerial aides resigning, including allies of Wes Streeting. The Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, is understood to be ready to make a move for the leadership. Ambitious. If the Prime Minister is forced to resign, with other senior Labour figures also preparing to run. There'll probably be a fair few, half a dozen. People that have got no realistic chance to. That's the thing, when there's a leadership election. You know you're not the guy. You know you haven't got the experience, or you're not old enough, or you haven't got the gravitas. You certainly haven't got a block of MPs big enough behind you to actually win. But you throw your hat in the ring anyway to sort of signal that in the future, years now, maybe decades from now, just keep your eye on me. I'm someone that is interested. I want the party and the world to know that I am interested in being the leader one day. So a bunch of people do that, always. Angela Rayner says, Greater Manchester Mayor Andy Burnham, quote, shouldn't have been blocked, quote, from returning to Parliament. So she's, whether she wants the job herself or whether she's going to be a sort of crazy Andy Burnham partisan, manipulate events to just try and get him back so that he can be the leader and she can be his deputy. What exactly is the Fridge's game? What's Big Bird playing at? Exactly. Not entirely clear, is it, at this moment? Machinations. She's not clever enough for true machinations, is she? Any sort of 4D chess. That's not her speed, is it? She's a moron. I heard a bit of her speech the other day, literally listened to the action, watching this. She's so dumb. She's sort of David Lammy dumb. In fact, she's less eloquent than David Lammy. Right. So she says it was wrong for Andy to be blocked, and her allies claim she's ready to strike a deal with him, with Andy Burnham. Okay. One senior government source told the Eye paper that the number of Starmer loyalists in cabinet was shrinking. Yeah. You're right. Okay. The Mirror. Let's whip through this then. The Mirror. Labour in chaos. Rebels turn on Starmer. Got it. The Mail. Disgusting globalist slop trying to wear the skin suit of the patriotism. It's absolute leftist slop. Globalist slop, ultimately, in the final reckoning. Government in chaos. After his last-ditch reset speech fails dismally, a coordinated avalanche of MPs... Okay, you get it. The Financial Times, same picture. Summer reset speech didn't work. Right, okay. The Metro, ooh. Harry, the stain can one. Ooh, the Metro. Don't want. Ugh. Make me sick. It'll make me physically sick. The Metro. Don't care. Forget it. Okay, they're the front pages. All right. Is it time for our... It's quarter two. Time for our poll. Let's have a look at our poll. What did we say today? Oh! Bit spicy. A little bit blue. Keep it clean. We went with... Our poll today, we asked you guys... Is Wes Streeting a pitcher or a catcher? Should he play a game of baseball? 85% say catcher. We'll move on from that. No, I'll say it. He would be the first openly homosexual prime minister, wouldn't he? He's openly practicing homosexualist, isn't he? I believe. So he'd be the first one. Openly. I say I don't mind my Prime Minister being homosexual as long as he's a power top. Is that a bit much for in the morning? What, I didn't say any swear words, what? Okay, should we just move on? We'll just move on from that. Okay. All the websites are the same. It's just Walter Song. Well, and as I say, you can't blame them because what's a bigger story than the government imploding, right? Should we listen to a little bit? Is it ITV? Let's watch this. Something like a minute or two.
6 o'clock. Our main news this morning is that there is a cabinet meeting this morning and it's going to be tense because the rebellion...
Quick thing to say. This chap here, if you don't know... His name is Edward Balls. He's been in government before, with the Blair and Brown governments, senior minister, Ed Balls. His wife is the Foreign Secretary, Yvette Cooper. Right? So it seems like a kind of an outside chance, but not completely inconceivable that relatively shortly his wife is the Prime Minister. Probably won't be, but it could be. Leadership elections are sort of difficult to predict quite often. Very often, sort of the heir apparent, the person the bookies got as the favourite, doesn't win. Very often that's the case. It could be, there'll just be all sorts of backroom dealings and stuff. It could be that his wife is Prime Minister, and then he becomes the first man of Britain, right? He becomes like... He becomes like the King Consort, right? Like Dennis Thatcher. He's a Dennis Thatcher guy, and he's in number 10. He lives in the flat above number 10, and he's got the ear of the Prime Minister at all times, right? It could be. But look at, like, the shock on his face. Look at... It's happening. Like, I wonder what my wife is doing and saying and who she's talking to and what card she's playing right now, like this exact minute. Or what was it like in the Balls household last night? What was their conversations? Okay, just bear that in mind.
...against Sir Keir Starmer's leadership is now growing. Despite a last-ditch attempt to rally the party yesterday morning, four government aides have now quit, more than 70 Labour MPs now publicly calling for him to go... And the Home Secretary, Shabana Mahmood, senior cabinet minister, is now demanding that Sir Keir sets out a timetable for his resignation.
Our political correspondent Louisa James is in Downing Street. Louisa, a meeting of the whole cabinet coming up in just 3 hours' time. Are we expecting to hear from Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister from Downing Street, about what is going to happen before the cabinet meeting? Or is Shabana Mahmood, the Home Secretary, going to be... repeating her call for Keir Starmer to set a timetable in front of all her colleagues in that meeting?
Well, listen, I have stood here many times over the last year or so, even more over the last few months, a few weeks, few days, talking about whether it is time for Keir Starmer to go. And every time we think it might be the end, he has had another stay of execution. But this morning, in all honesty, it does feel different. It does feel as though we might be in the end game and that things could come to a head within hours. Because, yeah.
Right. Okay, that's enough. What she said there, I think, is the case. It feels like we're in the end game. Not really the beginning of the end, but sort of the end of the end. Might be wrong, right? He might get super stubborn about it. But it feels like I put the government collapsing today, this morning, this afternoon, at 50-50, probably more than 50-50. So, okay, there you go. There you go. That's the biggest story by far today, by a long, long way. All right. Shall we have a look at, on this day in history, the last 5-10 minutes of the show, and then we'll get to the Rumble Rants and Super Chats, as always. You know the drill. The glorious band, the chosen for you, my band of brothers and sisters, you know what's going on here. You get the format. All right, shall we have a look at what happened on this day in history real quick? You guys like that. I like doing that. The 12th of May. 12th of May, what happened here? Britain abolishes the slave trade, 1789 on this day. William Wilberforce, MP, makes his first major speech on abolition, ending the slave trade and ultimately the ownership of slaves. In the UK, House of Commons, reasoning the slave trade is morally reprehensible and an issue of natural justice. Yeah. Do you reckon that on my history theme show, Bodade's Epox, behind the paywall on loadseaters.com, consider signing up for as little as £5 a month, bonus tier membership. Do you think now I've got long-form content all about the life and career and sayings, writings, speeches of William Wilberforce and the abolitionist movement? You bet your sweet ass I have. Oh yeah, it's there. In conversation with Mr. Carl Benjamin. Yeah, long form bit of content. What, a couple of hours or whatever? All about William Wilberforce and the abolitionist movement. Usually people that hate this country and the West and white people will just omit talking about William Wilberforce. They didn't used to when I was growing up. But these days, they just talk about the evils of the slave trade and, you know, reparations and Gibbs. You've got to endlessly say sorry and give them endless amounts of money. And they just won't talk about abolitionism. Late 18th century, early 19th century abolitionism. Now, from a moral point of view, we did away with it. The British, among the first. Went beyond that, tried to stamp it out. Used the Royal Navy to try and stamp it out all around the world. William Wilberforce. Okay, on this day, 1914, Nazi Blitzkrieg and conquest of France begin, with German forces crossing the Meuse River. Yeah, very interesting. Was reading, well, listening to an audiobook about a week ago, all about that stuff, where Mr. Hitler's army thought it was a bad idea. You know, didn't we try that, like, 20 years ago to invade France? It didn't work out well, did it? And he was like, no, and Hitler was just like, no, we're doing it. We're going to do an opposite Schlieffen plan. Instead of a massive left hook round Belgium to the sea and round, we're going to do it the other way. We're going to go massive left hook and we're going to go through the Ardennes forest. Like, you can't do that. It's too dense. He's like, no, we'll make it happen. It'll work. And it did. It only bloody did. The battle for France. Over very, very quickly. Okay. On this day, 1943, Axis forces in North Africa surrender. Nazi forces in North Africa surrender. Got a bit of content on state of politics. All about the life and career of Enoch Powell. And he was in North Africa. We'll talk about it. I talk about it a fair bit, actually, in that bit of content. He was in North Africa in intelligence. How he defeated Rommel's Africa Corps. The real ding-dong back and forth all the way across the deserts of North Africa for a few years. Rommel winning, taking Tobruk, thinking they're going to win. Us being pushed back it was all the way to Cairo. And then us pushing back against Rommel, him fighting on against the odds. El Alamein, the Americans getting involved. It's a great story. It's a great story. The SAS, you got everything there. The war, World War II in North Africa, I think, is an absolutely fascinating bit of the war. And ultimately, we were victorious, so it's, you know, it's good from that point of view. On this day, 1949, the Soviet Union lifts its blockade of West Berlin after the US, the UK and their allies successfully supply the city during the Berlin airlift. Yeah, classic bit of sort of very, very, very early Cold War history. Because, of course, Berlin, the city, is firmly in East Germany. Right behind the Iron Curtain. Mr. Churchill's Iron Curtain. But then, but West Berlin was like an allied Western enclave. Stalin decided to, wanted to close that. Like we, the allies, mainly the US really, stopped driving trucks full of stuff from West Germany into West Berlin. Stalin closed that off, trying to squeeze West Berlin and just take all of Berlin to be in the Soviet sphere. So the Allies decided to airlift millions and millions of tons of material, food, everything half a city needs. And, you know, putting the ball back in Stalin's court. Are you going to start shooting out aeroplanes out of the sky, attempting that Berlin airlift? If so, it's World War III. So at that point, Stalin did blink, basically. He was like, well, I'm not prepared to start World War III over this. It's a real crisis moment. Interesting thing, the Berlin airlift. Read up about it if you're interested in the Cold War. Fascinating little bit of history there. On this day in 2002, former US President Jimmy Carter arrives in Cuba for a five-day visit with Fidel Castro, becoming the first president of the United States in or out of office to visit the island since Castro's 1959 revolution. Interesting, Jimmy Carter, an interesting guy. Most people like him, some people hate him, think he was just super weak. Most people kind of liked him. Obviously, it's before my time, but, you know, looking back on it. President in the 70s. But in 2002, he was an old man. He only died recently, didn't he? He lived to be a grand old age. Didn't he live to be over 100? He only died recently, like a year ago or something. Okay. On this day in 2008, Wenchuan earthquake, measuring 7.8 in magnitude, occurs in Sichuan, China, killing over 87,000 and injuring 374,643, leaving homeless between 4.8 million and 11 million people. It's a bad one. It was a bad one. If you look on, say, Wikipedia or something, and you look at a list of all the earthquakes and floods that have happened in China over the years, you'll probably be amazed how many there are and what the casualty figures are for them. Like that's once in a century, once in a millennia thing. No, it happens all the time. Sort of all the time. Going back to the earliest records. Like the whole Yangtze River, the whole Yangtze Valley is flooded out or whatever. I'd be worried if one day there's such a massive earthquake that it damages or even breaks that Three Gorges Dam. That Three Gorges Dam breaks and the giant reservoir behind that goes downriver. Millions of people will be killed. Okay. But the Chinese, ever since the Maoist era, have been obsessed with dams for some reason. Okay, all right. Shall we have a look at the Rumble Rants and Super Chats? What have we got here? All right, the Rumble Rants. Who's in at number one? It's global church history, isn't it? Because of course it is. Got to respect the grind. Okay. He sent it in at 7:02 in the AM. Got to get up. Got to get up early to beat global church history. What does he say? He usually gives us two little on this day in history things. So we've got... Today, in 113 AD, Trajan erects his column. Cool. Yeah, interesting. Fascinating. I've been to Rome a number of times, looked up at that column with my own two eyeballs. There's also a full-size plaster-cast replica of it in the Victoria and Albert Museum in London. Also seen there, been that. Trajan, one of the greatest emperors. If you don't know, just super quick. He went on various campaigns. He was one of the military emperors just before Hadrian, went on this giant campaign to the east and just swept all in his path like a modern day Alexander or near. There's some great lines particularly in Gibbon, or is it in Plutarch even, where letters would come back from the East to the Senate in Rome, sort of every day or every week, saying, oh, I've just conquered another kingdom. I've just taken another kingdom vassal, and on and on and on. And the people back in Rome, the Senate, couldn't believe it. It's just like, you just can't stop winning. He actually suffered a little bit from sort of winning too much, like Alexander. You take such a massive swathe of land that you can't realistically hope to actually ever govern it. Anyway, Trajan, remarkable emperor and general, one of the best to ever do it. And then he made a column, literally just a column, and round it in a spiral, in like frieze form, is a story, various stories of all these victories. It's in Rome. It's just outside the Forum, just on the other side of the street to the Forum, still there to this day. Incredible, right? Okay, you also say, Global Church History, in 1593, the playwright Thomas Kyd was arrested and tortured for his writings against the, quote, strangers, immigrants who now made up 30% of cities like Norwich. Don't know a great deal about that, I'm afraid. I can't give you much comment about that. Thomas Kyd, late 16th century. I know various things about society and the various strangers, foreign people. It's an old-fashioned way of saying foreigners. But specifically Thomas Kyd, the playwright, not too much. Sorry about that. Interesting point, though. Thank you. Okay, the next Rumble rant is Bone Apple Tea Party. Says, allegedly David Lammy was going to pop in and tell Keir he had to go, but he couldn't remember what number in Downing Street Keir lives at. Yeah. David Lammy, if his performance on Celebrity Mastermind is anything to go by, has got the mind of a child, like not even a particularly brilliant child, like a normal bog-standard 7-year-old, 8-year-old, has somehow got to adulthood without picking up any real general knowledge. How can you go through life as an adult without knowing anything, why anything is the way it is? Not understanding any references? It's only DEI why he's in the position he's in, isn't it? It's the only reason. He's truly, truly stupid. Truly. I mean, as a matter of fact. Okay. 14 Barber says, all right. Yeah, I'm all right. You're all right. You say, I guess it's entirely possible that Starmer could set his resignation date to be around the time of the next general election. Well, not really. He also threatened an election if they forced him out before. Yeah, that's true. Can't say that wouldn't make any sense. Okay, I resign. I'm prepared to resign, but not until 2029. No, that wouldn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. Maybe though. He might say, this is more likely, or possible, or perhaps, I will resign, but it will be in 2 months, 3 months. Time enough for a by-election to be called somewhere in Manchester, Andy Burnham to win it, and then a leadership election to take place for Andy Burnham to take over. That will take a couple of months, right? I would have thought, all that. Sometimes Labour, I know Ed Miliband changed all the rules, I believe, but sometimes Labour leadership elections can take ages. Like, didn't the Corbyn one take like 4 months or something? I think the rules have changed since then. But nonetheless, you would need at least a couple of months, maybe 3 months, maybe more, I don't know, to get Andy in. Would Starmer be prepared to do all that? Is he that sort of magnanimous? I'm not sure he is. Yeah, and as you say, and he threatened an election if they forced him out. Yeah, right. Oh, you're going to force me out? Well, let's do a general election and you all lose your seats, or nearly all. I wouldn't put that past him either. I wouldn't put anything past him. I think he's quite a, as well as being sort of unimaginative and a robot-like person, I think he's also relatively bitter and vindictive as well, relatively. He may well do that. I wouldn't put it past him. Okay, and the last Rumble rant today from Busted Brian says, any insight, Bo, into claims of Restore cancelling Saskia Teague speaking at some event over some kind of inappropriate tweet regarding the pick of the white and British council members? Well, not any special insight, but Charlie Downs went on Twitter yesterday and cleared it up. Just said, yeah, that was some sort of internal error. to block her from doing that. We apologised. He apologised to her, apologised to the party and members that were alarmed by that. It was some sort of internal error. We're not perfect. We're still growing as a party. And drew a line under it. Said, sorry, it shouldn't happen again. It won't happen again. And that's what that is. Bit of a storm in a teacup, to be perfectly honest, I think. And hopefully Saskia will be allowed to speak next time. Not so much of a big deal. The ex-Tory boy term reform tards thought it was some sort of brilliant win, some sort of wedge to ruin the party. Yeah, no, it's not a big deal. All right, let's go over to the YouTube Super Chats. There's a dozen or so of these, so let's whip through these. Cowboy Dud said, oh, you've given us an On This Day in History thing. What have you got there? Okay, On This Day in History, 1215, English barons issue King John the ultimatum that led to Magna Carta. Also, Wilberforce's first speech against slavery, 1789. Okay, cool. So we already talked about Wilberforce, didn't we? And the other one, the barons in 1215 against King John. Do you reckon I've got long-form content all about the age of King John and Magna Carta? Yeah. More than one long-form video, actually. Talk all about it in loads and loads. Loads of detail, if you're so inclined, if you want to hear me talking about all that, telling you the story about all of that. Do consider signing up to Bronze Tier Membership. Get behind that paywall. It's good value for money. All right, the next one. What is it? Mini Mobile Review? Is that what that says? It's all one long word. Mini Mobile Review says, when is New Islander magazine out, Bo? Oh, I don't know. I know Rory's working on it right now, but I don't know the exact date. Little Harry, do we know? Do you know? No. Okay. So, haven't got an exact date for you, but I would have thought it'd be in the next month or two, something like that. I hope that hasn't just piled loads of pressure on Rory. And he was like, no, it won't be for ages yet. I don't know. Sorry, can't tell you. But there definitely will be one. I mean, 100% will be one. We've got, as usual, some of the bigger hitters on the distant right writing for it. So there you go, but I don't have an exact date for you, sorry. Okay, Harry Hobag says, maybe Streeting will be Labour's Didius Julianus. Didius Julianus? What did... I have to remind... I can't remember. What was... What parallels would there be between Streeting and Didius Julianus? I'm sorry, I can't recall. Okay, there's probably a really good reference there that's going over my head at the moment. All right. Pardon me. The K-Man Live says, hey up, Bo. Hey up. You Northerner. Hey up. Our kid. Reckon Starmer out this week? Could be this morning. You said, I bet my dad £20 last week that he'd stay in after the election. After the elections. He has till the end of the week. ND he has so far. Maybe it was meant to be MB he has so far. What do you reckon? Well, as I say, I put his chances of the chances of him coming out this morning or this afternoon and resigning at 50-50. Maybe slightly more than that. I don't see him getting past the end of the week, whether he stays on as sort of the interim leader, as like a ghost leader, a ghost prime minister, until someone else is elected, or until, well, he will do that. He'll probably stay on as leader, probably. Who knows? It could play out a number of different ways. There's probably about a dozen different ways things could break. It could play out. But I see him as like his actual full position as leader and prime minister, like. It can't last very long. It may even be today. Okay. Emily for Restore. It's a good gal. She says, worst outcome. Marxist clowns Burnham, Lammy and Rayner become PM and all the crazy Islamo commie greens come back to Labour. Yeah, that wouldn't be great. Although you could argue, even though it costs our country, it damages our country in the meantime, you know, the strategic thinking that's actually ultimately not bad, because it means at the next general election, whenever that is, they get truly annihilated. You know, the accelerationist angle, the accelerationist view. I don't like accelerationism. I get it. You know, I've got a little bit in me that's accelerationist, but I don't want my country to be damaged any more than it needs be. We'll see. We'll see. All right. Dewey135 says, when's the Lotus Eaters and Count Dankula boxing match happening? That won't happen. There's only a few of us here. I mean, Rory plays rugby. Big Harry goes to the gym. He's a proper gym bro. And I think does a bit of sparring and stuff. They want to have a fight with Dank or one or two of Dank's minions. Fine. I'm too old for that stuff. I don't want to get my orbital cracked. I don't want to break my nose, lose teeth, break a rib. No, thank you. It's a young man's game. I'm middle-aged. Okay. Anime Chad Party says, being a power top is Greek-pilled Nietzscheism. Yeah. AC1D Helm said, did you hear about Amos Yee getting jumped? Harry, do you know what that's talking about?
I'm so glad you've asked. I'm glad that we've got this donation. Right, this is...
I don't know. Can you turn yourself up slightly? Is that possible?
Yeah. So, I don't think that we'll be talking about this again, probably.
Okay.
He is a convicted child sex offender. Again, probably.
What, a person called Amos Yee?
A convicted child sex offender.
Okay.
And he got banned... Yeah. And he got banned from going to a convention because he has social media accounts advocating for CP and CSAM content. So a guy at this convention jumped him. And there's just so many videos about it. But the guy's being, I think he has a court date.
Okay. All that was news to me. I've never heard of Amos Yee until this moment. But what, a wrong'un getting jumped? I left my tiny violin at home. Sorry. Well, okay, there you go. AC1D Helm said, have I heard about that? Well, no, not until just then. But there you go. Okay. All right. Loafer Sheffield, morning Loafer, super fan Loafer. Funny on Twitter. He says, oi, Baldy. I allow him to call me Baldy. He's allowed. He's a good guy. I never mind being called bald. I just am bald. Came to terms with it a long time ago. Oi, Baldy. He calls me Baldy all the time. Lammy, stroke mastermind, question mark. Two Ronnies was funnier. Yeah. Remember the Two Ronnies mastermind parody where he answers one question after the other? Brilliant. Brilliant writing. All right, cheers, Loafer. Thundercork 2028 says... Starmer will remain beyond 2029. Interesting take. I mean, I highly doubt it now. Okay. Erwin Romulus, another big fan, says, mini epochs on Jimmy Carter and the rabbit. I'd do one on the president, all the presidents. In fact, after I've finished my monarchy series, which will take probably a few years yet, maybe I'll do one on all the presidents, one after the other. From Washington down to the Donald. Jimmy Carter and the rabbit. What's that a reference to? The rabbit. I'm not sure. I don't know. But okay, we'll do one on all the presidents. In fact, I've already got some long form content on History Bro. Harry, go to that camera. Already got some content on History Bro about some of the presidents. There's one about George Washington, one about Thomas Jefferson, one about Ulysses S. Grant. Going to do one about Teddy Roosevelt soon. Okay. Last two or three here. Zeitgeist 3208 says, they're all catchers. There's not a pitcher among them. I reckon that's part of the problem. Yeah, they're all into baseball, and they all want to be the catcher in a game of baseball. Charles Smith 956 says, Bo, would you or any other Lotus Eaters be open to a chat about neuro-inclusion? I think it is fundamentally misunderstood and would love to chat. I don't know what neuro-inclusion is, I'm afraid. It sounds like something Josh Firm might be interested in. Josh Firm's got got a postgraduate level degree in psychology. And he's very interested in the mind and all sorts of things. But I don't know exactly what neuro-inclusion is. Maybe tweet Josh, even though Josh isn't a formal, permanent member of Lotus Eaters anymore. He is still more than a friend of the show and still comes in and makes content and stuff. So tweet at him, see what he says. All right, and the very last one today, Dewey135 again says... Oh, Doe-E-135. I said Dewey-135 and he's correcting me. It should be Doe-E-135. Okay, I'll try and remember that going forward. All right, that's the show. It's now 15 minutes past 9 in the AM British summer time. I'm on the podcast today, I believe. I was supposed to be on last Friday. I was absolutely physically exhausted, truly physically exhausted. And Lucas said, bro... I'll go on the podcast for you today. You go home and go to bed, which I gladly took him up on. I'm repaying the favour today. I'm on the podcast. So I'll see you at 1 p.m. today. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. Until tomorrow, do try and make the best of your day. Carpe diem, seize the day if you can. Try and make the most of your time. Most valuable thing you'll ever have. I don't want to sound like a broken record. I'm going to, though. All right, until 1 p.m. today, take care.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.